This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So if you've been keeping track of what's happening with the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, the latest is that North Korea has become the first country to drop out. And this is just the latest in a long line of just very unfortunate incidences that have plagued these games. And all this is happening while Japan faces a possible fourth wave of infections. So this has got many people asking what this means for the Olympics and more largely for Japan.
Yes. So this was announced on the 6th of April when North Korea's Olympic Committee made the decision not to participate. Their reason was to protect players from the world public health crisis caused by COVID-19. And this is significant in part because it would be the first time that North Korea has missed a Summer Olympics since 1988 when, as you'd expect, and par for the course, they boycotted the Seoul Games. And South Korea's Unification Ministry has expressed regret and said that they hope that the Tokyo Olympics would provide an opportunity to improve inter-Korean relations. But, you know, I think that it is worth putting this in context and saying that while this is, of course, unfortunate, this is really very much just the latest setback in a very long line of issues that have plagued the Tokyo Olympics or Tokyo 2020 ever since they had to change their name because they didn't happen in 2020.
Yeah, and I mean, at the moment, they're set for the 23rd of July all the way to the 8th of August. And I think it's worth saying that this is, it's not just about the game itself, right? There's a lot of money involved. There's the idea of reputation, how the world views what is happening. Now, this one-year delay alone has has pushed up the cost of the games by $2.8 billion. And it's now estimated that it's going to cost them $15.4 billion to stage the event. The original cost in 2013 when Japan was awarded was $7.5 billion. So you can see that it's actually a huge, huge investment in terms of needing to keep this game going. And on top of it, the question of whether they should go ahead, according to The Guardian, 80% of people in Japan want the games just cancelled outright or postponed. So yeah, I mean, this just is really the most beleaguered Olympics I think I remember.
Yes, for sure. And I think it's significant when you have 80% of people in your own country saying that they don't actually want it to happen. I think many, many Japanese people and in many of the polls, it's been pretty consistent that even if it does go through, they also don't want anybody to actually attend, or rather they don't want people from other countries to be able to attend, which if you think about the spirit of the Olympics and the idea of what they're supposed to represent, the bringing together of people, that's a pity. I mean, it's completely understandable, but it's a pity. And I think also while we're talking about the reputational hit that Japan is likely to take because of this, or rather, if we look at the general sense of how sporting events feed into diplomacy or feed into public perception, it's also worth talking, I think, about the general scandals that have been plaguing the organizing committee. There have been allegations of sexism. There have been people who have said, just people on senior members of the organizing committee who have said wildly inappropriate things about women, about weight, about any number of things. So honestly, it isn't just COVID-19 and it isn't just North Korea.
I wanted to say, though, that just bringing back to COVID-19 and what's happening right now in Japan, they actually had to take the Olympic torch off of public streets in Osaka because of the fact that a state of emergency has been declared as their numbers reach record highs. And and Japan's vaccine minister expressed concerns that Tokyo might actually soon follow Osaka in terms of their numbers, because as of now, I think Tokyo is hitting 555 cases, which is one of their highest numbers in recent times. So Let us know what your thoughts are in terms of the, we've been asking you this several times, but considering these latest developments, do you think the Olympic Games should continue? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13. This is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about the Tokyo Olympic Games, or rather, I think the games that everyone, you know, doesn't really know whether should happen or not. So let us know what you think. Lots of things have happened. North Korea has dropped out. Japan is currently facing a potential fourth wave of COVID. Do you think that with all of these things happening, that the Olympic Games should continue this year? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us to help us make sense of what this means for Japan as a whole is James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. James, thanks for joining us today.
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much for joining us. So let's start with this question. Can Tokyo, in your opinion, afford to cancel or postpone the Olympics at this stage?
Well, I don't even think it's a question of afford. Fact of the matter is, this is a failed policy from the beginning. And to be fair to the Japanese and the Olympic Committee, it's a fair policy across the globe. The notion that you can try and return to some degree of normalcy by cutting corners on the pandemic and not pay a price for it has proven time over time false over the last year. And so, I think it's more a question about doing the right thing than about trying to save face.
Do you think that has been the primary, in your opinion, has that been the primary driver of what's been going on here? A push to save face as opposed to, a push to save face?
No, what I'm saying is it's now a push to save face. Mm. What it was in the beginning was this continuous discussion, not only in sports, but across the board, between doing what is necessary in terms of public health measures to get the virus and the pandemic under control at whatever cost that may be, and then starting to rebuild the economy. So what we've seen in sports, but we've seen that across the board, is that governments, international governance bodies, in this case, the International Olympic Committee, hoped to cut corners, hoped to limit economic damage by starting up events far too early, and at the end, ending up one with egg in their face, and two with what is effectively a failure.
And if we look at the actual financial impact, where do you see that heading? Is there an estimated figure of how much it would cost to postpone the games potentially once again?
There are all kinds of estimates. First of all, the economic damage is done. So economic damage in terms of tourism to Japan, economic damage in terms of the leisure industry, all of that is gone. What you have left is broadcasting rights, some advertising, and of course the hosting. So the economic damage in many ways is done. And the question mark would have been, if Japan would have not been economically better off to bite the bitter into the bitter apple from the beginning properly, rather than do this sort of piecemeal.
And is there the Olympic Committee and the government have all along been quite firm in saying the event can take off this year, can happen, despite the many challenges that have been brought on. If they finally say, okay, we are cancelling it, how would their reputation be affected? Or potentially if more countries choose to withdraw the way North Korea has?
Well, I think the glass is going to be half full or half empty. Those who sort of want to poke Japan in the eye will obviously say, he told you so. Mm. Those who understand that you've at this point got to give public health priority in order to be able to revive these kinds of events and the economy, will probably at the end of the day say Japan made a mistake in the first place in doing this, but it learned the lesson, and all the more power to it.
And if we touch on North Korea for a moment, how will their not participating impact the event, assuming, in fact, that it does happen this year?
I don't think it will have a major impact, frankly. We'll also have to wait and see. It may be that other countries decide that they don't want to participate. Japan's struggling with the pandemic, and it may very well be that that some athletes feel it's not worth it. But I don't think that the withdrawal of North Korea in and of itself is going to make a difference.
What are the consequences for countries choosing not to participate in the Games?
There's a financial cost. They obviously miss an opportunity, if there was an opportunity. Their athletes will obviously be disappointed because they've been preparing for this for 4 years and now will have an 8-year stretch without having competed in the Olympics. But at the end of the day, I think if one does a cost-benefit analysis, we would be better off having a healthy return to a healthy situation than trying to salvage bits and pieces.
And you know, James, I don't think we actually asked you this, but considering the news that's coming out and where we stand at the moment, how likely is it really that this event is going to take place, not just in July, but within this year at all, also considering the international vaccine rollout?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yes.
I'm not a betting man, but if I really were forced to bet with a gun to my head, I probably would bet against.
So do you think that, or rather, where do you see the long-term economic or diplomatic benefits lying that would make the Olympics a worthwhile investment for Japan to proceed with?
Look, I think, quite frankly, that something much broader is happening. And what you're seeing about the Olympics in Tokyo is just one facet. I actually think that we're looking potentially at tectonic plate shifts in international sports governance. The next Olympic up is Beijing next year. And there you're going to have an issue of boycott. You're probably going to have an issue of a boycott for the 2022 Qatar World Cup. At the same time, in a world that has held up a total fiction of politics and sports being separate and politics needing to be kept off the sports field, in the past year, that has been shattered. You have Black Lives Matter athletes in the United States speaking out very clearly politically against racism. You have European football players now wearing T-shirts, including from clubs that are sponsored by Gulf countries, in favor of migrant rights and calls for the boycott. You have the international sports, FIFA, the football world governance soccer body, basically not intervening and saying we support it. So I think we're really looking at some very fundamental shifts.
And how do you see countries negotiating those shifts? Because I think, you know, hearing you talk about those events and the countries involved, it is very clear, you're right, that there are going to be increasing tensions and friction when it comes to these sort of international sporting events.
Well, I think what you're going to get is that you either could get a split within the sporting world, but you're going to get pressure on autocratic countries, particularly if and when, you know, a FIFA is held to account on its own human rights policy and then has to justify its relationship with an autocratic Gulf state, let alone China.
And do you think that sporting bodies are ready for that? I mean, not so much on an international level, but if I look, for example, at the NFL and how they dealt with Black Lives Matter, there was significant criticism. And for a very long time, there was no real acknowledgement of politics off the field.
I think they're not going to have a choice. You saw that in the case of the NFL. For the NFL, you know, which is basically a business, you either get on the bandwagon or you have a serious problem. I mean, this is, you know, certainly Black Lives Matter was something that was supported by a significant segment of the population.
James, in closing then, and this is a slight pivot from where we began, but do you think that it is inevitable, therefore, that sports and politics are going to mix in the future, that this is just the world in which we live now?
What I'm saying is they always have mixed. Mm. It's not like that is changing. I think the relationship between sports and politics is incestuous. It's like Siamese twins. You cannot separate the two. So what you need to do is what you do in banking, in utilities, in other things. You create an independent regulator that regulates and monitors and supervises that relationship between sports and politics and creates a code of conduct, the charter, whatever it may be, so that that relationship is transparent and bound to rules and regulations. Rather than everybody conveniently denies, and therefore they can do whatever they want.
James, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
My pleasure.
That was James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, talking to us, at the beginning at least, about the Tokyo Olympics and where we stand in this area, but then extending that conversation further, I think, to talk about the ways in which sports and the sporting world interacts with real-world events, the pandemic, politics and the like. Let us know. I mean, do you think the Olympics should still go on? But also, do you think that, do you agree with James that ultimately sports and politics or sports in the world at large are in a blend that we cannot, you know, kind of separate anymore? And how do you feel about that? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.